She may soon be in charge of Homeland Security. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
Being safe within our borders here in America is critical. And yet Americans feel less safe than they have felt in decades.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem at the start of her Senate confirmation hearing.
More than 40% of Americans are afraid to walk alone at night within a mile of their homes. President-elect Trump is going to change that.
And Governor Noem also told senators,
as secretary, I will prioritize a comprehensive whole-of-government approach to cybersecurity.
Democratic Senator Gary Peters told Noem,
just a few weeks ago, unfortunately, Americans were shocked to see two horrific incidents in New Orleans and Las Vegas, a deadly reminder that terrorism and radicalization remain very real and ongoing threats to our homeland.
TikTok has been branded a national security threat, and a ban looms in the U.S. for the social media app for not, by law, cutting ties with its Chinese parent company.
The company is waiting to hear if the U.S. Supreme Court will block the law, but now President Biden is saying he will not enforce the ban come Sunday, leaving it in the hands of the returning President Trump. The president-elect has already expressed a dislike of the ban, hoping to find a way to preserve the app's operation. President Trump credits the app for his reaching of younger voters during the campaign.
That's Fox's Eben Brown. Israel takes another step toward a ceasefire in Gaza. The Security Cabinet approves a deal with Hamas that would free hostages taken in the 2023 terror attack that triggered the Gaza war in an exchange for Palestinian prisoners.
Approval is still needed by the full cabinet. Phase one of this deal includes getting back a third of the remaining hostages, 33 civilians, including those who've been killed. Some of the remaining hostages include seven Americans, though some are presumed to be dead.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. We're just getting this from Reuters that the Supreme Court has ruled against TikTok's challenge to that law that would force a sale or a ban on the app in the U.S. by Sunday. America's listening to Fox News.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on SingleCare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to SingleCare.com or download the free app today.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Michaela's Mobile Spa, Michaela! Michaela got a quick business insurance quote from Progressive and chose from over 30 customizable coverages. Sure, it helps she's her only employee and does literally everything, but while others would rest on their laurels, Michaela was hard at work saving big. So take that, hypothetical other employee who doesn't exist. Be your own Michaela. See if you could save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage is not available in all states or for all vehicles and coverage.
Good morning, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Mortgage One here. And if you're ever wondering what that dead air is, it's typically Russ running across the studio back from the restroom.
That's all true.
So good morning. How are you doing, Russ?
I'm doing well, man. So,
feeling like empty and you're loose, ready to go, have a good morning. Is that kind of how it works now?
It does.
Now,
yeah.
I walked in and you said, hey, be nice to your dog. She's in a bad mood.
Yeah, she's in a bad mood.
I don't see it. I think maybe the owner's in a bad mood. What's the scoop here? Was there like an episode this morning?
She barked, and I don't like it.
Okay.
You know? And some of those instincts and things, you can't work out of the dog. They're going to do it because she feels she's protecting me.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to redirect it or, you know, tell her, like, hey, thanks for alerting me now.
Right.
I know, but she doesn't stop. That's the frustration.
So we're 2 weeks into the new year,
yeah.
Right? And this is kind of the time that New Year's resolutions fall off, that you know,
what
old
New Year's
habits.
Resolution? I didn't know you had one.
Well, I didn't say I had one. I'm just talking. So you and I off air brought up a point that kind of leads into a lot of stuff. So you said you tipped the scale down to what today?
195 this morning.
Okay.
And I was at 230 a year ago.
Okay. So 35 pounds is what you've taken off in a year.
Slowly, sometimes 2 pounds a month.
Okay.
You know, so it's not been rapid.
But it, so that was a year-long commitment or more.
It was a commitment to health, not just a weight goal.
Okay. So kind of like a lot of people do, and you know, again, who cares? No judgment. But you make a New Year's resolution and we're going to go do it, but there's no stick-to-itiveness to it behind it. You had a medical episode, and that's kind of what started it.
Correct. I had a scare, okay. And I you know, a memory thing that ended up not being serious, except that it was a wake-up call.
Okay, so scare started a path.
Yeah.
What now that you – and you keep saying, hey, I feel better, I'm stronger. Mm-hmm. Now that you're better, what's keeping you on that versus where you see a lot of people kind of regret or regress and go back to the old habits?
And I was talking to Johnny about it this morning, and when you first start doing something new like this, and you get up in the morning and say, oh, man, I got to go exercise, and you find excuses or you go to the gym, but you figure, I better cut it early today. I'm only going to do half of what I scheduled, but at least I was here. And pretty soon it goes away altogether. But for me, I stuck with it. I forced myself. I mean, the scare was enough to force myself to say, I've got to clean it up. My kids got to pay attention and, you know, see an example, my grandkids and all that. But after a while, I miss it. If I have to miss a day, I'm like calling the gym saying, hey, you think I can make that up and stuff? I mean, I look forward to getting there and having him scream at me to do 10 more.
So you like people screaming at you?
I guess so.
Okay.
You know? But I think it reworks. You know, it starts becoming part of your life. It starts becoming something that you do. They interviewed Arnold Schwarzenegger the other day, and he's older than me. He's in his 70s. And he was at the gym, and they go, well, now you're retired. Why you go to the gym? He says, because I'm still alive. Yeah, he doesn't stop.
Right. And so that habit, and it, you know, they always say it takes 30 days of consistent behavior to change your habit.
To where it's not where it becomes.
And that's routine. Where it becomes part of the new routine, and the old routine disappears. Now, you're doing this long term because you feel better and you can see the results, and it's just become who you are.
I feel like I'm just starting.
And I would love to have that same kind of conversation financially and with credit and with building wealth, because it's no different. And, you know, you're saying it took you a year to see a 35-pound difference, and you probably don't notice it day by day. But if you looked at a before and after picture, you might go, oh, my gosh.
I didn't even really step on the scale.
You know.
A couple
years ago, we probably should have gone, dude, you're fat. You need a salad.
I don't know that helps.
But no, it doesn't.
If it did, we'd all do it.
Right?
Yeah.
But that you don't see the little incremental steps, but now you're like smiling ear to ear that you can say, hey, I lost 35 pounds in 365 days.
Right.
That's crazy. Now, can everybody do that physically or even financially or credit? Let's pretend you have poopy credit. You know, that's a technical term, poopy credit.
Poopy credit.
If you have poopy credit, could you, over a 365-day path, completely rearrange your credit?
Most people, yes. I mean, unless there's something on there like a bankruptcy, it may take a couple of longer.
Right. Yeah. Now, and you're right, those fall off in longer time. But here's the problem. No different than if you took a picture on Tuesday and you took a picture on Wednesday, do you see a huge amount of difference in you physically?
Oh, yeah.
No, you don't.
Oh, you mean
you physically?
I'm thinking a year ago.
Yeah,
still.
No. If you took one Tuesday of this week and Wednesday of this week, you see no difference. But there's something happening.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with credit. Here's the problem. We've gotten so used to, I can look at this app and my credit card tells me my credit score and I can instantaneously see what's going on. People get so frustrated because they want the instant gratification of, they turn the phone and they go, hey, Russ, look at my credit score. And they hold up the phone.
And here's part of the problem. We get too many people out there advertising, marketing, saying, it's easy. You just do that. You call me and we'll get this fixed for you. And it's really easy. Just like Ozempic, you know, you can just get some Ozempic and it's all easy. And I think we've given into that propaganda and that marketing that you don't have to work for it. We'll just get it for you.
Yeah. Work is a 4-letter word.
Yeah. It is.
So you talk about some of the things, and when people say, man, this is the year, I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to get credit fixed. I'm going to build some financial wealth. I'm going to put together some things. You can do it, but you're saying it took you a year to lose 35 pounds. I'm saying the average person moves every 5 years. So every 5 years, you should buy a new home and keep the old one as a rental. And if you're going to work for 25 or 30 years minimum in this country, let's say you're going to work for 30 years, you better have four or five houses. Or you could change the phraseology and say you could have four or five houses exactly. if you made that choice. So it's the Russ Clark choice. Do I go to the gym each and every day and progress forward? You know, here, do I just do a little bit on my credit? Do I do a little bit on my investing? Do I do a little bit on my personal budget? And do I do a little bit of, yeah, I really could have four or five houses in the next 30 or 40 years?
Sure.
And now, if you said that, how simple and boring is getting wealthy and retiring?
Oh, it can be done with the right focus and the right thing, but people get sidetracked. They said, I'd rather have a new stereo system than have savings, or I'd rather put my money into a new car that makes my neighbor envious that I have a fast car or something.
There was a guy that I knew who has since passed, but you know he had a great saying. He doesn't, and he always said, I don't want you or anybody else to point at something and go, look, I own that. I want you to tap on your wallet and say, you know, you drive by a rental property and just kind of go, yeah, I own that. Mm-hmm. And it's a quiet way to just get ahead, and sure. you don't need to talk about it. And that's where, again, some of this social media, man, credit score this, Ozempic that, but look at what I bought.
People that do well in the finance and everything, they have a mindset for it. And it's in every aspect of life, not just in, you know, because they'll budget their entire life. They'll budget things and they'll look at things.
But it's a habit.
I forget the gentleman's name that owned the Cocoa Paw Speedway that started it, that built it. Thompson, I think.
I don't know. I think so. Guess.
Great guy. And in the military, when he first enlisted, he found that if he didn't take leave when the ship docked, he could stay on the boat and loan money to the people that did have to have a little bit of money and make interest back on it. And his savings was huge. By the time he got out as an enlisted guy, he had enough money for down payments on properties and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And he had a mindset for it that he didn't mind being on the boat and missing leave and spending his money worthlessly on bars and frivolous things that mm-hmm. he saw no interest in. Because he was paying attention to his future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, I think that's really it, is you had a scare health-wise, you paid attention, and you've started this journey towards being healthier, right? Yeah. And that's no different than whether you call it a scare or don't call it a scare. It's mm-hmm. literally just, hey, I could change my credit and my financial picture over the next 365 days, and it's going to be amazing. And I think when you look around, economy, good or bad?
Bad.
Okay. Is it going to get better or worse?
Worse first.
Okay. So do you look at that and make some plans, or do you just act like an ostrich, stick your head in the sand
and
go? You
make plans. I mean, you realize to pay closer attention to your budget, because, you know, if you start saying, well, it'll turn around and I'll just put some stuff on the credit card and it'll turn around and I'll be able to pay it back.
Oh. So now we're talking credit cards.
Yeah,
so
you're wrong.
Here's the next piece that we want to talk about, since you say credit cards.
Yeah.
The data analytics should be way easier than they are. And isn't it interesting that you can craft a stat and a data point at any point if it is in your favor, but when you really need the data, sometimes it stalls 2, 3, 4 months and they don't publish the data. So the last data point is now credit card balances, consumers, US, Q3. Guys, we're already 2 weeks into Q4. You know the credit card companies have
it.
They're just not publishing.
They just push a button. They got it.
Exactly. But so, you know, if you go to the Federal Reserve of New York and, you know, they've got that 882-page report, the total right now, what would you guess U.S. consumer credit card debt total?
$1.2 trillion.
Very close. $1.18.
Okay.
So $1.18. And again, when you read that report, that's at the highest level ever.
I was counting Q4.
Now, here's the problem. We've already gone past Christmas. They're publishing data from Q3. You and I know the credit card balances are going to be higher than that now. So how do we start getting rid of the credit card balances no different than your weight? Is it going to be instantaneous tomorrow?
No.
No, it's a little bit. So how would you do it?
Well, first off, you check where all your debt is and what makes the most sense to get rid of one, you know, which is the highest interest. And you work on it. And the others, you pay the minimums. And you get rid of the ones that are the highest interest one at a time, but you retire the whole thing. You don't spread it out. Because there's some endorphins popping when you have a success. Like, I paid that one off. Mm-hmm. I paid that one off. And get that done. And you adjust your budget accordingly when you figure out what your payments are. And then you say, wow, that's going to take me so tight, I can't eat out. I can't take dinner out on Friday night. Well, then you don't take dinner out on Friday night.
And so you're 100% right. So you start looking at interest rates and balances, and, yeah, and really you tackle the smallest one first because sure, you get rid of it. And then you apply that minimum monthly payment to the next card and you just kind of roll it. But sometimes we have these, it's kind of like, forgive me, the person who's not healthy who's going to give you health advice, you know? It happens, but it's the same thing financially. Sometimes we're trying our hardest to do the right things, and we're doing it in all the wrong order. So had a gentleman come in this week, and he needs to do something because he's, you know, everybody lives to the level of the water. And if the water is at X level, you're spending X amount of money, and that's kind of it. You know, the old saying, a rising tide floats all boats. Yeah, you make more money, you're spending more money. But this guy can't make it, and he's on a fixed income, and that fixed income is going out the door for a bunch of credit cards and consumer debt.
Sure.
But his house is free and clear.
Wow.
He has no house payment because he, over the years, has paid it off.
He's invested in an opportunity.
Well, and that's what we talked about.
But sometimes there's an emotional attachment to that. Like, I don't want to owe any money on my house because I live here for free. No, I don't want to have a single debt on my house. I understand that.
And his family is the one that taught him the old mantra from the Great Depression.
Yeah, never.
Own your home free and clear.
Someone
so nobody can take it.
Yeah.
And you stop and say, wait a minute, look at what all this is costing you, because most of these credit cards are 29% interest.
Yeah.
And you've got just a horrible setup, and it's literally taking between food, electric, gas, you know, auto insurance, plus the credit card debt. He has no money left at the end of the month.
Well, as cheap as interest rate's going to be the home loan, as much as you don't want to. What would that be like now? Like six?
They're in the mid sixes for what he's going to do.
Yeah, and versus 29.
Yeah, that's the thing is, and he was so emotionally attached to having his home free and clear because he likes saying, "My home is free and clear." But you're drowning.
Could he do like a 5-year loan or something?
Sure. But okay, that's not what I'm going to suggest.
You're going to spec 30 and then pay it off.
You always take the 30 and you can always pay it ahead at any point.
I'm just looking at a guy that may not have discipline, but you're right. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
But there's, if I force somebody into, and you can do a 5-year, you can do a 4-year, you can do a 10-year. It doesn't really matter. But if I force you into that and then you have another problem, then you got to go redo this again. I would rather have the conversation and say, look, you're going to take a 30. If you want to pay it off in 15 years, you've heard me say this a million times, you pay 40% more on your 30-year fixed, and you're going to pay it off in 15 years.
And it's not rocket science.
Nope.
But a lot of people will get freed up of that burden. Let's say that all his bills add up to $2,000 a month, and all of a sudden it's only $200 a month. So look at all that extra money. I can go out to eat now. I can go on that airplane trip I want. I can visit my kids in Europe, you know, and all of a sudden it's, well, I'll just put it on the credit card because I know next month I'll get it taken care of.
Right.
And you see them go right back into the habits, and now they got the habit back, and then a year later their credit cards are back in trouble and they still have a mortgage.
Yeah. And that's where you know, at least with me, I hope other people do this. You have to have the conversation to say, look, if you're going to save $1,500 a month, and you have no money in savings because you literally are living at the level of your fixed income, just take half. If you're going to save $1,500, put $750 away in your savings account and just pretend it never exists. And now you're going to save.
You could probably pay your mortgage on an auto pay and just double it.
And I don't even want, honestly, in my opinion, I don't want him to do that. I want him to set the 30-year fixed payment, set it and forget it, and then turn around and put money in savings.
Yeah.
And then you can enjoy the other $600 or $700 a month and just live comfortably.
Is he comfortable with that, or is that emotional thing about the mortgage going,
you know,
to pull him back?
I know I'm just a mortgage. I'm a jackass. I'm a lone donkey that does paperwork. That's pretty much what I do.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
Right. But it was almost like the psychologist, you know, okay, it's very emotional. You know, I want my home free and clear. I don't lose it. It's like, wait a minute, it's just tactical of what am I doing with my money?
But if you default on everything, you own your home free and clear, it'll be included in the default.
Could be.
Yeah.
And the sad truth, if your home is free and clear and you don't pay your property taxes, somebody going to take your house?
Yeah.
Yep. If your home is free and clear and you don't pay your homeowner's insurance and it burns to the ground, is anybody going to put it back for you?
Ask some people in L.A.
Yes. Well, that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
I mean, with the state insurance fund over there, isn't that an interesting thing?
Yeah. Well, they're in such trouble. And all the insurance companies were pulling out.
Right.
State Farm stopped writing new ones in 23. And then they canceled 72,000 in 24. Mm-hmm. And people had to go to high risk insurance and pay outrageous if they got it. Some were going free, you know.
So go back to where we started. New Year's, 2 weeks in, you're doing great health wise.
Yeah.
I want everybody to do better. Credit, wealth building, you know, budgeting. And literally it's challenge yourself to say, how much weight did you want to lose per month? Did you have a goal?
I didn't, but I really looked at 2 pounds a month as being very doable and still gaining muscle, not losing, you know, making myself sick and like a lot of people that do Ozempic and stuff. I didn't want to do that.
The exact challenge I gave everybody in my office is this. Find me $100 a month worth of savings.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it.
Pull up. Get your personal family budget because yeah. I know they're still embarrassed and I still look at them all. Find me $100 a month worth of savings somewhere. Pretend income doesn't change. Find me apps. Find me subscriptions. Find me other things you can do. I don't care what it is. And what is everybody's first thought? Oh, my gosh, I can't find that. Oh, I can't save $100. But you start looking through. And again, I'm not saying cut any app out.
No.
I don't care. But I'm also saying, you know, you don't have to go out to eat 5 days a week. You could bring a couple bagged lunches.
Yep.
Or, you know, make a pot of black coffee at home instead of stuff. I don't care what you spend your money on or where you save it. Maybe it's go check the air in your tires so you get better fuel economy because you've forgotten you're running 25 PSI in your tires.
Well, I don't mind them buying new tires.
Well, I know. That's why I said that because I know you make so much good money on tires. All of these things go back to the discipline and the habit. And the reason I say it New Year's resolutions is everybody goes, oh, my gosh, this is the year I'm going to get fit. Oh, my gosh, this is the year I'm going to invest. Oh, my gosh, this is the year I'm going to fix all this stuff. Cool. We're 17 days past New Year's. Let's keep pushing each other. And here's the other thing. Why do we always say we don't talk about money, we don't talk about religion, we don't talk about politics? Which is...
Well, because it's tough subjects because we know that we would like to improve them, but we don't really want to right now.
And, you know, again, the other thing is how many people go, well, you know, you're so lucky, Russ. You're healthy. Look, you're in good shape.
Uh-huh.
But they don't see the work that you put in for the last couple of years to get there.
I would agree with them. I am lucky.
You know?
I mean, I feel fortunate that I don't have any issues. And a lot of people have something that they can't control. But I do have it to control, so let me do it.
And now with your physicalness, though, are there people that you went to high school with that look like they're 100 years old because they didn't do this, and you could have been on that path. I mean, I could have been on that path. Anybody could be on that path one way or the other.
I could tell you there was a guy that came in the gym that I knew. I've known him for a long time. And he was in one of the electric motorized vehicles because he couldn't walk.
Mm-hmm.
Very. I mean, his leg strength was gone and all that kind of stuff. And he was there to get a little stronger, which I applauded. His kids
Good.
Talked him into it, and I applauded, and I talked to him a little bit about it, about what he was doing. And so his weights were you know, designed to help him, whatever that was. And, you know, when he was slacking off even on that, he just had a bad attitude about it. And he says, well, you know, it's hard for me because I'm old. You don't know what it's like to be old. I'm a year older than him.
Isn't that funny?
And I had to tell him. I said, you know, I'm 67, and he just about fell out of his little electric cart
because
he was pushing it. I'm old. I can't get better.
Now, where does that victim mentality come from?
I don't know. It's easier, I guess. It's just a path of least resistance. You don't have to get up and do it. Maybe. I don't know.
And see again that you talk about it physically. How many people have that same thing with their cars when they bring them into you? Oh my gosh, this car is just such a piece of junk. And you look at it and go, well, you know, if you actually changed your oil or checked your transmission fluid once in a while or actually paid attention to the yellow blinky lights on the dashboard, maybe it wouldn't be.
Well, and some people don't see what they've got. I had an employee years ago when I worked for Napa. He had a nice little Toyota truck. And he took off the fenders and put on off-road fenders, and he did things like, you know, that were stupid, and he had an interior was kind of ripped up, and he got tired of the truck, and he says, well, I'm just going to sell it. I said, well, what are you going to get for it? And he said, $1,000. I said, that truck's worth a lot more. Well, you know, it's not having problems. I got to, well, just fix it. If you just, well, it would cost more to fix it than do it. I said, I'll give you $1,000. So he gave me $1,000. I put $600 into it, and I had it repainted and done some stuff. And I had the front seat reupholstered. I sold it for $6,500, right in front of him, because he didn't see it.
That's the work, though, and that's the boring work that you have to do to get stuff done.
Yeah.
And you go to the gym in the morning, and it's hard work, and it's sometimes boring, sometimes strenuous. Maybe you want to stay in bed in your strawberry shortcake footy pajamas because it's cold
outside.
How'd you
know about that? You know,
well, Helen told us. It's you know, she said that to everybody at the Christmas party. It's fine, but again, it's just the work and it's just the investment. And so when, like, we've done that $100 challenge, and I would tell everybody listening, if you haven't done it, try it. With everybody you work with and know, challenge them to do it, because it's not for my benefit or your benefit. It's literally just for theirs. And if you can save $100 a month, I know it's only $1,200 a year, but could you pay that down on your credit cards? Could you use that money for a couple weeks worth of gas and groceries and not have to put stuff on credit card? That's how you start digging out of the credit card.
Well, a lot of people would do that and say, well, now I got an extra $100 to spend.
Exactly. So don't do that.
That's not the idea.
Take the 100 and apply it to a debt. Take the 100 and apply it to your savings. Take the 100 and use that for groceries, and then put another 100 into your 401k out of your check, because you and I know taking 100 net is different than gross. So if you put money into your retirement plan, like a 401k, that 100 out of your check, you're really only going to see what, $70, $75 out of your paycheck. If you could save 100 over here on apps and take 100 in your paycheck and dump it in your 401k,
better deal.
Way better deal. But it's the challenge to say, you know what? I don't need to pick up $10,000 bills, which would be nice. I want to pick up $100 bills every once in a while. And so we're going to talk about that, some more things after the break. But this is the Money Talk after New Year's resolution. Check in, AM 560 KBLU.
Given recent events in the financial market, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU, Derek Egerberg, Russ Clark, talking some follow-up on New Year's stuff.
I got a question for you.
Go.
State of the state, Our governor, wants to make housing affordable. And she said she's going to make housing affordable by making sure that she gives money away to people that can't afford a down payment.
Sounds like a great plan to me.
Sounds like not. And, you know, and I talked to Michael Carbone, our new our representative Carbone, that's now the majority leader in the House. I said, you realize that just throws more money into the buying into things. It raises prices, you know.
Yeah, I'm.
It's going to make it affordable for a few people to get that giveaway.
Well, I'm, you know, again, I'm not an economist, but I'm pretty sure the definition of inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods and services.
So she's going to throw more dollars.
So you're going to throw more dollars at something, which drives the price up, ergo, by definition, makes it less affordable.
And on the good side, Carbone completely understands that.
Yeah.
And he thought it was not the program we need to do. But there's some people that are getting $30,000 as a down payment.
And so what are they going to do with it?
Well,
they're going to outbid the person who could have previously afforded it.
And raise prices.
And so when you say make housing affordable, look, let's be brutally honest. What is inflation? Inflation is literally just a tax that takes – I mean, it really is. Inflation continues to go up, everything gets more and more expensive. So when we want wage growth but products and services go up – you're still living, like I said, at the level of the water. So you go back 30 years ago, mortgages, you always wanted your mortgage payment to be between 31 and 38% of your, depending on the loan program, 31 to 38% of your gross income. So let's just round it to a third. You could have somewhere between 43 and 50% of your income spent on all consumer debts, not taxes, not food, just everything. Now, fast forward to today. What are we as lenders still looking at for people for housing? About a third of their income, between 31 and 38% for the house, and up to 45 to 50% for everything.
The price is going up and the interest rate's going up. That's less house all the time.
Yeah. So you still afford a home. It may be a one notch below neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, back in the day, you talked about the joke was the McMansions. Everybody had a McMansion. And, you know, you want to strive to get into this. But there's 27 other neighborhoods that are one step below, then one step below, then one step below. Almost everybody qualifies. It may just not be where they want to be right now based on their income and debt situation. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. When you throw 30 grand at somebody, you have no idea what debt load they're carrying. So you look at, let's pretend you and me both going to go buy a home. You may have no credit card debt, and I may have $100,000 worth of credit card debt. We're going to qualify differently. Just because we both got 30 grand doesn't mean that I can qualify if I've not done everything else correctly. That's the problem.
But I wonder who's advising her. Is these political people advising her, or accountants and financial people advising
her? Well, I think that's a direct duplicate of what, remember, the Biden administration was talking about, these huge tax credits and incentives.
And I think that's you know, more political to say, well, at least I did something.
Say it isn't so. You mean it's a political thing?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so, but it's not a solution. And sometimes the solutions, like losing weight, is hard. Sometimes the solutions aren't easy. But we've gone through this in the 70s where we had prices going up on houses like crazy, mm-hmm. interest rates crazy. And I was growing up at that point and looking at maybe I'd buy a house someday, and I thought then I'll never be able to.
So here's
but
what
we can. We worked our way out of it.
I would love a politician like that. I don't want to hear how you're going to get me in. I want to know that you have a plan to make things sustainable.
Correct.
And nowhere can you say, here's my plan to make it sustainable, because the only thing that's going to make it sustainable is when you look at a lender, we have the rules that we have to look at the ability to repay. Legally, ATRQM, ability to repay. We have to see that somebody has the income and the credit profile and the path, if you will, to make the payments over time. Throwing a down payment at somebody doesn't mean they have the income and the credit wherewithal to do it.
No.
Now, go back a different direction. You just said interest rates are up, and they are.
Sure.
And over the last 3 days, ticked down a little bit. We're going to turn everybody into mini mortgage lenders here on a couple of things.
Okay.
But we've talked about this. When interest rates go down 1%, what statistically happens to home prices?
They go down.
They go up.
Okay. Yeah.
By about 10%. So if you see
all things being equal.
All things being equal.
Yeah.
Sure. And you can come up with any exception to that rule. But if you see a 2% rate drop, you would expect home prices to be 20 to 22% up. Now, if you said, hey, I'm going to give you some free money to get into a home, are those repayable? Are those grants? Is it free money?
No one's giving free.
Oh.
Well, it could be, I mean, on the governor's case, it would be taxpayer money.
Oh, so, okay.
Some of it. Some of it is a giveaway.
And some of them are giveaway, but most of the plans, there's a repayment and a recoupment period that you have to live in it so long. But you know some of these plans that you get in that if you refinance, you're going to pay the money back.
Yep.
Okay, so it's a technically an interest-free loan.
It's only a couple $100 a month.
And and there's already down payment assistance programs.
Yeah.
There's already reasons and ways to get in. You don't have to throw free money at it, which is going to artificially cause inflation because, again, you go back to too few products and services being chased by too many dollars. Where does anybody think that's a good idea?
It
on the news?
Just politically. You know, some people say, oh, that nice. They're doing this for these people. They're doing it. That's nice. Mm-hmm. It seems like charity. It's not charity, though. It's taxpayer money.
And when you say for these people, here's the thing. If we have money to throw it like at that, hey, how about we help all the homeless vets around put a, you know, I'm not saying give them a house. I'm saying how about we do something to help people that fought for this country instead of, hey, you haven't managed your debt. Okay, here's some free money to go buy a home. And again, no disrespect to anybody who's taken those programs. There's a lot of people who never had the education and didn't actually get taught how to budget.
The system's not designed for that right now. Hopefully we get smarter.
Wow. Russ, do we even teach balancing checkbooks and how to invest in the stock market and budgeting in high school anymore?
Nope, they used to.
Yeah, you budgeted it. I budgeted it. Mm-hmm. Why do we not teach people how to balance a checkbook and do a budget in high school? I would go down to every high school in town. Anybody wants me, you want me to teach a class, I will go down and do my one-page personal family budget and teach.
We get grants to do DEI, not say, here, I made a
But I'm just saying, you know, my son and I, Evan and I, were having that conversation. So as he's driving to school this morning in Wisconsin, he's calling me and we're kind of going through some things. And, you know, we're just talking about, well, Dad, what do I do? Should I, you know, now that I'm going to graduate here, should I work full time or should I keep going on my school? Don't know. Depends on what your budget is and depends on what your passion is. But I said,
poor kids,
well, you know what? They'll probably, you know, I'm going to have the cheapest funeral ever when I get there. Cause they're going to be like, Dad, it wasn't in the budget. But you know, we talked about, okay, dude, if you're working right now and your living expenses are so low that you can save money, you have the ability to keep working this job while you're chasing your passion for education and building skills. Get after it. You don't have to worry about some of these things because you already have a budget that shows you've got some free spendable money. Great. He goes, well, you know, what if I want this, this, and this? Great. You want a camper shell for your truck? Have you saved it? Is it part of the budget? And if it is, absolutely. And if it's not, then please don't go put it on a credit card. And, you know, again, all three of my kids actually are pretty good with credit because I know they're not going to buy anything. My funeral is going to be dirt. And a wood box. I can already see it. So,
yeah.
But, you know, again, talking about the budget, he goes, you know, Dad, I've saved this much money and here's what it looks like. And I think I can afford this. What do you think? All, you know, two thumbs up, dude, go get that. You're good with it. And just having that discipline to have a conversation and not be scared about it. And I think going back to you, how fearful were you when you contacted your trainer the first time?
Not. In fact, I knew him. I didn't know where he was. And I happened to walk in an office and he was there and said, hey, let me show you what I'm doing. And I said, well, count me in. Okay. It was just that simple. I wasn't looking.
But you trusted him.
Correct.
Okay. Now, how difficult would it be to walk into a random gym and ask for a random trainer that you don't know and say, I need some help?
Very difficult.
Okay. And that's, I think, the difference is, you know, obviously my kids are my kids, but, you know, we have some of those conversations and sometimes it's difficult. You know, my youngest son said, hey, Dad, you know, I'm thinking of doing this job and, you know, I'm thinking of quitting where I'm working and I think I can make way more money here.
Okay,
cool. You're saying lots of I thinks.
Yeah.
Tell me why you think that and tell me the better questions you've asked these people. And he didn't really ask any good questions.
I figured your kids would be smarter than that by now. They've dealt with you for a long time.
You know, it's the difference. It's the difference between checkers and chess.
Okay.
So, you know, you still got to think three or four moves ahead. But we were talking about, you know, how your job now pays versus how this one could pay. But ultimately, if you could make, I don't know, pick a number, $5,000 more in a year, but you're literally just graduating high school and you're going to go to college, is this a long-term career?
No.
No. So I don't really care if you're trying to do this, but what you're telling me doesn't make sense numerically based on what you think this and industry does.
So they say, Dad, you just don't understand me. They ran around and slammed the door in the room.
Kind of. Yeah. there are sometimes. So trust me, there is no perfection here. You know, dirty laundry is out. There are times that, Dad, I just don't want to have this conversation anymore.
Oh.
Okay.
Been there.
I'm just asking really good questions that if you don't have at least an answer for, I don't know how to help you. And you get back to, if you think this, whatever this is going to be beneficial, look at the pros and cons. You went to the gym for a year. Sure. You're down 35 pounds. Good job. Now, did that cost you a lot of money?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, I had to pay the instructor. I didn't go to the gym on my own. I had an instructor that really showed me how to build.
I'm going to guess you have unintended consequences we haven't even talked about. I'm guessing you had to change your entire wardrobe and had to throw out all the fat pants and had to go get new clothes.
I lost 8 inches off my waist.
Okay. Did you want us to help you find them again?
No.
Bring in some donuts?
But I happen to have old clothes that I never threw out that used to be 8 inches smaller.
So
I haven't bought anything.
So you were both a pack rat and fat. Nice.
Correct.
I like it.
Yeah, somehow I saved those clothes thinking someday I'll get back in these. You know how people do that?
Do they still?
And then they never do?
Right. You did it? Did they smell like mothballs?
No, they were well taken care of.
Okay.
And some nice clothes. So I was very fortunate that I have some. You know?
But for most people, again, there's an unintended consequence that I'm going to get healthy, and you forget. Now you got to go spend money on clothing, which should be in the budget. You know, again, one of the reasons I pointed that out is when I go through people's personal family budget, let's say mom, dad, two kids.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no line item on the budget for clothing, are they already set up for failure? I mean, what's a pair of shoes for a kid right now? $100?
Is it? I can't afford kids then.
Well, I mean, you and Helen get after it.
I don't pay $100.
But I'm just saying, what's a good pair of shoes? 50, 75, $100?
Probably for the name brand they would want.
So if you're telling me there's not a line item on the budget that says clothing.
Yeah, you're wearing socks.
Okay. And, you know, you can get socks for Christmas, I guess.
I want to get back to something that you mentioned about how much did it cost me. And I thought you meant financially. And I'll tell you, it was probably $6,000-$7,000 of what I've spent in the last year for health. And I knew I was going to spend it. And I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Was that on your budget?
Yes.
Okay. I need to see it. I don't believe you.
No. No, it actually, you know, was you know, I knew exactly what it was going to cost, how much per month and what it was going to cost me. You know, and a gym membership is anywhere from $10 to $40-$50, you know, without any frills. I was paying $500. But it came with a personal trainer that wanted to make sure my time spent was fully utilized and that I was getting the performance and the things I wanted to. And do I think my health is worth it? I think I look at it like an insurance policy. I think I'd rather spend that $6,000 than I would later on a room over at the hospital because I got out of whack.
No, but that wasn't your mindset when you got to that point in health.
I wanted to not look at it. I had blinders on.
Okay. So the ostrich.
Yeah. And I think it was the trip to the hospital because I was having, an issue. My blood pressure was high. I was having short-term memory because I was eating wrong. I was wrong weight. I wasn't sleeping. I mean, everything. I was just like the normal person, just an average guy that is doing it because it feels good or something, you know.
Psychologically, there's some people that, and again, everybody has issues. I have issues.
Yeah.
Is it retail therapy? Is it food therapy?
Correct.
You maybe overate.
Yep.
I've overeaten in my lifetime. There's people who go shopping to feel better.
It's entertainment, you know.
There's people who go to the casino.
Sure.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
None of it's good or bad. It's just, is it fit within the budget or the healthy lifestyle, whatever? Look, I don't care. You want to go out to ice cream and fast food once a week? If that's what you want to do, great. I want to see if it's budgeted and can you outwork it with the gym membership type stuff. But you go back to it, it's so difficult to set a new habit because sometimes the people you hang around have the same habits that got you there in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so you hear a lot of people who, just like your 1 year younger dude at the gym in the electric chair, who, not the electric chair, but the electric scooter. You don't want him in the electric chair.
No.
But like you said, he said, must be nice. You know, you wouldn't know. Well, you're younger.
Well, you're much younger, so you can get that done. And he was shocked to find out.
But it's the same conversation with credit, with income, with wealth. I guarantee you, everybody who's ever put any wealth away has people going, oh, must be nice, you're rich. Instead of, you know, man, what did that guy do for 40 years to get there?
I know how you did it. You just didn't pay your fair share.
Yeah, I want to know the blood, sweat, and tears. What did you do for 30 years to get there? And I want to replicate what you're doing, like the guy I mentioned. You know, when he told me that, you know, I don't want people to look at my car and go, hey, I own that. I want to drive by one of my rental properties and tap on the wallet and go, I own that.
Right.
I'm like, man, that psychologically changed how I see things.
I don't think enough people think like that. I mean, they just don't.
Or they haven't been exposed to it. They didn't have somebody who planted the seed. And that's where, again, you know, all joking aside, maybe I will be buried in a dirt plot.
But a lot of people judge themselves based on their assets. Like, I am who my assets are.
Or their credit score. Or
whatever.
But
you have to give that up and realize the value you have as a person. And if you don't have any, then you need to start looking at that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're in the automotive industry.
Correct.
How many people come in driving their net worth?
I don't know, but probably a few.
You'd be surprised how many people you look on paper that they haven't bought a home yet, so they're looking at their first property. They're in debt on credit cards and or student loans and or installment loans, everything else. And literally their net worth is if they have any equity in the car because they haven't put anything in a 401k. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can see why a lot of people get wrapped up in that because, oh, that's my baby and I'm investing in that. All the while it's depreciating and becoming worth less and less and less.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But what happens to real estate over time?
It generally increases.
Generally, over a 50-year period, 100-year period, 1,000-year period, it's going up. Yeah, there's blips in time, mm-hmm. and those blips are buying opportunities. They're not you know, horrible opportunities. What's the old Warren Buffett saying? You know, buy when there's blood in the street type thing. If things went down, yay, I get to go buy something cheaper for that moment as long as you have budgeted and gotten yourself financially healthy.
Yeah, the whole buy low, sell high. And Tom Rush can tell you about that because, you know, he works in investments.
Mm-hmm.
And the people panic when things come down and they say, oh, we need to sell. We need to get out. And I said, well, no, that's not the time.
You mean you don't buy at the height and sell at the low? What?
But people know it. They know they buy low and sell high.
Yeah.
But they panic. And the rich guys that do really well love that.
So you just said the word panic. Why is there that emotionalness versus just a tactical conversation? Because what you just said, the rich guys just tactically go, okay, buy this, sell this, and move it around. There is no emotional, like, let's pretend you had, I don't know, your grandfather's Ferrari from 1952. I don't know, just pick something. You might have an emotionalness to that because you rode in it with your grandfather and you got to drive it
around.
And
I know it's cost me more than it's worth, but it doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter. But so is that a investment?
No.
If that was the one car that's worth $10 million on the planet?
No.
You wouldn't sell it?
No. So it's not an investment.
So now you just took the tactical investment out of it and it's emotional. But to maybe your grandfather back then, he just got a really good deal on a car and he just loved it and it just stuck around. Formed the attachment to it.
True.
And most of us just form those attachments, whether it's a stock that you bought or a car that you bought or that was my first home. You know, it's those things. But in the end, go back to where we were talking about
it's
my
an
kid.
Asset.
At some point when I'm dead and gone in the ground, all of these things need to be set up. And, you know, I heard Stephen Shadle talk about it a couple of times and loved listening to him talk. The 100-year plan. You ever heard, you know, Steve Shadle talk about his 100-year plan?
I did. I know Steve very well. But
have you ever had some personal conversations? He was one of those guys that taught me. here's the 100-year plan, and here's what I'm doing right now, and here's what I expect to do in this amount of time, and here's what I'd like my family to be doing over the next 100 years. And he was really planting the seeds of the generationally changing the trajectory of the family.
What a great guy.
And you think the two guys that I've talked about, you know, Stephen Shadle here locally and this other guy nationally, you talk about, man, I want to tap my wallet and do things healthy that way, and I want to have a plan that my kids and my kids' kids kind of see how to do this and just be financially healthier. You started the show by talking about you want your kids and your grandkids to see a healthier lifestyle.
Correct.
Why are you doing so much work to teach them that?
I got a 100-year plan. No, it isn't that. You know, I think it's our responsibility to do the best for what we can, whatever that is. You know, I've had college professors say that does anyone know the best insurance you can get your kids? And there are a lot of people raising hands. Oh, this type of policy, that type of policy. Says the best insurance you can give your kids is an education. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Education. Know how to take care of themselves. Know how to handle things. And to understand society, understand people, understand that's the best insurance policy because they'll thrive in any situation. And I've never forgotten that. And I thought, you know, I was like the rest of them, thought, well, you get a term policy or, whatever,
right?
You know, whatever. That's not it. That's not the best insurance. Because if you give somebody a bunch of money, we see the lottery winners all the time that are broke and wish they'd never won.
Geez. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that. It's giving them intelligence.
What you just said, though, is similar to those two guys planted with me. Somebody mm-hmm. planted that seed, and you just said, I've never forgot it, and yeah. you're doing those things. And that's what I love about doing the radio show and how you and I can just banter sometimes, is none of this is judgmental and none of it is critical. It's literally, hey, these are some of the things that we've learned over time, whether it's how to manage your credit or look at things, and you just move ahead in the right direction. And you can see some of these things happening for the betterment of the next generation or your friends and family. And look, I want everybody in my office to retire millionaires when I'm dead and mm-hmm. gone. Now, is that tomorrow? Gosh, I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not.
But if it's a 20 or a 30-year working career, everybody who works with me should be worth a good amount of money. Everybody who works with you should be worth a good amount of money as you're talking these things. But now everybody in your shop should be a little bit healthier because you're planting those seeds. Hopefully I'm getting a little healthier. And you just...
No more donuts.
No?
I don't know.
Fruit platters? What do you bring the guys? Do you take donuts? And there's
There's donuts in there all the time. Okay. I have not tried to
We don't call
that.
Those donuts. We call them power rings. Come on.
That's from the sheriff.
Right?
Yeah.
But again, all of this is, hey, I'm just looking at stuff tactically.
Yeah.
Here's how I'm going to fix my credit. Here's how I'm going to fix my finances. Can I save $100 a month? Like you, can I lose 2 pounds a month? Look, I don't think it's realistic that you're going to go lose 50 pounds in a month, right? Not 35 pounds in a month?
Not healthy.
How about 35 pounds in a quarter?
You could lose 35 pounds a month, and it's done. You see the greatest losers type programming and mm-hmm. stuff like that. It's not the right way.
I just want to know, is it sustainable?
Probably not. I mean, a lot of these fads and stuff, they don't teach you how to live. They teach you how to do a short-range goal, and then it's all weight's gone, and you're good, right?
Yeah.
No.
You mean?
Because the habits haven't changed. The lifestyle hasn't changed.
You mean I don't have to get up in the morning, do one push-up, and I'm good?
At some point, you're going to get off of Ozempic.
Okay.
And what are you going to do then? Just what got you in the first place, needing Ozempic.
Probably.
Except you're going to be weaker.
Probably. So don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, but again, let's go back to, here's what I love. If you have questions on health, talk to Russ. If you have questions on credit and personal budgeting or buying a house, all those things, call me. Sit down with myself or Bill or Rosa or Annabelle or Darren or Denise, anybody in the office. Sit down and have a good conversation because it's not judgmental. It's literally, let's have a cup of coffee and you can ask me questions and I'll tell you what I would do. And again, that was one of the other conversations we had, is had an elderly gentleman come in and he was asking me, well, should I? And again, his financial advisor said, come talk to me, because they had their argument. And he goes, you know, I've got $500,000 over in this investment account. That's all I've got saved. And I need $250,000. Do I finance the home or should I take the money out of this?
Wow. And that would be an interesting conversation.
Well, I mean, it was a it was a long 2 hour conversation, but you know, my questions started with, do you believe your investment is going to go up or down over the next 10 years? He says up. Do you believe your home is going to go up or down in the next 10 years? He goes up. And I said, now I know you're old because I can see you. Are you required to do the minimum required distribution out of this investment account? He goes, oh yeah, I'm required to take this much out of it every year. Okay. And I've been doing that for 3 years. I'm like, cool. So what you're telling me is if you take this money out and use it and your home is free and clear, your minimum distribution is down. So your asset portfolio is going to go up slower, right? Going to get cut in half. And your home is still free and clear. It's going to go up or down whether the market is by the market, not whether you have a mortgage on it. But if you took the mortgage, would this minimum required distribution pay your mortgage payment? He goes, oh, yeah, it would make the mortgage payment and still some. Cool. So why would you ever liquidate your investment account if this distribution is going to make your mortgage payment? He goes, well, it was never explained to me that way. Like, it's just looking at the whole big bucket. So, you know, good conversations. And none of them are judgmental. You know, we'll have conversations that way. But again,
it's critical thinking, actually, is all it is. But you've got to get past the emotional connection.
That's the problem, is you got to get past the emotional baggage or the anchors and get back into, let's just talk about what you really want to do. So if you have a question, call us over at the office. 928-483-LOAN is the number. Come on by. Russ does all the time. But also,
what's the name of the business again?
Mortgage One.
Oh, okay.
Same place. Big blue sign. Big American flag.
The building hasn't changed.
Nope. But I will say again, thank you to all of the military men and women, past and present, who allow us to do these things on air, allow us to drive around free, allow us to overeat, get healthy, overspend, you know, budget.
Make mistakes and fix them.
Yeah.
We're all in that mode.
And
everyone.
If 3% of the population ever serves in the military, that means 97% of us should say thank you way more often and say, you know what, fly the flags proudly, do a good job on supporting the military men and women, know that that's not a political position, and
no.
Whether you're on the left or the right, those men and women that would take a bullet for us, this year we need to support those guys and gals like nobody's business. So when you go back to that $30,000 grant that the governor's talking about, how about we support the homeless vets here in town, and how about we get after the military men and women that maybe need some assistance with the PTSD and things like that. So if there's anything that we can ever do for you over at Mortgage One, myself, Russ Clark, give us a call. And then in the meantime, have a safe and happy new year. That's my speech. Russ, what do you got?
Nothing.
You know what? He leaves dead air when he goes to the bathroom, and then he ends the show with the word nothing. Man, ladies and gentlemen.
I think we put it all out there, but look.
It is a whole new year.
It's uplifting to me right now this year, because I think there's an opportunity to put things in place that are going to correct it. It's not going to correct overnight. Trump's not going to get sworn in on the 20th and the world's fixed or any of that stuff. But the hard work is going to start paying off better if that's what you're into. And I think it's time to take that opportunity to look and see what you can do that's going to be beneficial to yourself and others around you. And I think there's going to be avenues open up that weren't there before, and there's going to be some stability that opens up. Not immediately, but it's coming. I think that attitude that you see in the streets, attitude you see everything, is contagious. Grab a hold of it and see, without the emotional connection, just look
there. It is.
Look for the opportunities where they really exist, not where you want them to exist.
And there's a ton of opportunities if you literally look far enough ahead or high enough. Let's go, gang, and we could all turn it around for everybody. Have a safe and amazing weekend, everyone. Bye for now.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.